This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. We're almost there, everybody. The NBA draft one day away, and oh boy, it's not like we're waiting for it with bated breath because the rumors are so hot and heavy. Here we go. Whitlock has been saying for the last 4 months that he thinks LeBron is coming to the Lakers in 2018, and folks, we're getting closer by the minute. Cowherd argues that Magic Johnson might be the best move the Lakers have made so far. 13-time Pro Bowler Ray Lewis offers his thoughts on if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick should hold Gronk responsible for his partying antics. Plus, former Super Bowl champ Eric Davis explains that if Colin Kaepernick does get signed, he cannot avoid being a lightning rod in the locker room. Ready for Speak for Yourself? Colin and Jason, take it away.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why there's no way LeBron is staying in Cleveland.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why the best move the Lakers have made so far, bringing in Magic Johnson? Did I just say that? Speak for Yourself starts right now.
You sure about that? It's not 1979.
It was a very exciting day yesterday in L.A.
All right, hello and welcome. We're joined today by Fox NBA analyst Chris Broussard and the founder of TheBigLead.com, Jason McIntyre. Let's start with the Cavaliers, whose bad week just got worse. After letting go of their general manager on Monday, word got out that Cleveland was trying to orchestrate a trade for Jimmy Butler. But according to the Chicago Sun-Times, multiple Cavs players warned Butler yesterday to, quote, stay away from a suddenly volatile situation. Colin, if things have gotten this unstable in Cleveland, is it inevitable that LeBron James leaves?
No, because I think J.R. Smith's got a couple years. You could trade him. Kevin Love, you could trade him. There are pieces you could move. You still have two great players. I still think they have a chance to get Paul George. You know, listen, LeBron doesn't like feeling trapped, okay? But if they land Paul George, he's not trapped. He's on arguably the best team. This, with LeBron, what you learn with LeBron is keep him happy, try to communicate, don't have contracts you can't get out of. Right now, Cleveland's a little old, and Kevin loves the liability against the Warriors. Just let's give it a couple days here.
LeBron sounds high maintenance under your description.
He is.
He's high maintenance. It is inevitable that he's leaving. If they're telling Jimmy Butler, don't come here, it's an S show, you think LeBron isn't like, I'm maybe doing one more year here and I'm getting the hell out of here? If they're telling Jimmy Butler to stay away, LeBron's definitely leaving.
My theory, though, could LeBron be telling Jimmy no? Because LeBron wants Paul George over the two, and he knows that Gilbert prefers Butler. So he's just playing a game among the players to get his guy.
Possible. Look, I'm told this is far from inevitable. First of all, it's not that volatile. This is being so overblown.
Thank you.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, that I have not confirmed that players are telling this to Butler. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But Chauncey Billups is well respected. The players will have no problem with him. They're still moving ahead, working on this trade for either Paul George or Jimmy Butler. The only thing, what could get volatile, is if Dan Gilbert really wants to stop spending money. If he's tired of paying the luxury tax.
Got his title.
If he feels like, yeah, I got my title. I'm tired of paying the luxury tax 4 straight years. Look, I overpaid Tristan. I overpaid JR. That could get ugly. Then that could lead LeBron out the door. But it's not to that point yet. And if it doesn't get there, LeBron will stay.
Yeah, I got to disagree. I think he's out the door 2018. I said it on your show this week. Lakers or maybe someone else. But this comes back to Dan Gilbert, guys. We watched that video on Uninterrupted, right? LeBron in the barbershop. Remember what he said about his family when he was returning? We don't want to go back. His wife, his mom, they did not want to go back to Cleveland. It's a toxic situation.
Because of Gilbert.
It all goes back
but
to Dan
But he went
Gilbert.
Back. He's LeBron, been there for 3 years.
Because he owed it to Cleveland to bring them a title. And he delivered on his promise, mission accomplished.
Why did he resign after winning the title? He signed a two-year deal after winning the title.
You just win a title. You're not walking out the door on the city that you were. Come on, Chris. You can't do that.
Well, he resigned. Kevin Durant, I don't think, was a Warrior yet.
But he didn't stay long-term, Chris, yes, right. Because of this Dan Gilbert situation.
But he's not. He doesn't do that because it was financially smart not to sign long-term. because he knew the salary cap was going up.
And also, listen, David Griffin was in place as the GM. Now Griffin's out. LeBron sends out that tweet. Guys, it seems inevitable that Dan Gilbert is going to screw this up.
I like all your points, but I get so tired of everybody. Dan Gilbert's
well,
the
listen,
wag guy.
Owners
He's
matter.
Been overpaying.
You, in Kansas City, and the NFL owner is a huge story. It's in every town in pro sports.
The owners matter. But let's don't ignore the fact that, and again, I love LeBron James, watched him as much as anybody, but he's a headache wherever he goes.
Gilbert's a headache, too. In that franchise, it is tough to deal with Dan
Who's
Gilbert.
Not a headache that's a star?
Everybody
doesn't talk to the coach.
Everybody's a headache.
We told you last week, you're not a walk in the park. Right. Gilbert is hard to work with as a GM. He's very demanding. He's very, you know, aggressive. So he's a lot to deal with. But look, possibly, like I said, if Gilbert doesn't want to spend money, that could lead LeBron out of the door.
By the time we leave this show, Paul George goes to the Cavs. Where's the chaos?
But Colin, that's
you're in the driver's seat.
Here's why that's not happening. Gilbert does not want to rent Paul George and then have LeBron and Paul George walk out the door next summer.
That wouldn't be terrible because those are two huge contracts off the books. You would have gotten rid of Kevin Love.
That's right.
If LeBron leaves, you're in rebuild mode anyway. So then you still rebuild around Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie, who led you to 25 wins when he was in
the league. Yeah, but he's still one of the best players in the league.
Who says he wants to leave if LeBron leaves?
There you go.
All three pieces could walk out.
And you start all over. If LeBron leaves, it's over. Period. There's no salvaging.
LeBron's already leaving.
There's no, we lost Paul George too? No, it would be over.
If they re-sign Paul George in an hour, okay, you know next year's good. You don't think Paul George get a little taste of Game 7 of the NBA Finals isn't coming back? You
That's
give guys
thing.
A little taste of scratch.
Yeah.
They like
if
it.
If LeBron wants to leave,
there
though,
you go.
So does the little taste of championships.
LeBron's not leaving for a Paul George-less Lakers if he just beat the Warriors in Game 6.
He'll take Paul George with him. Let's go. Let's go to L.A. party.
See, this is people against the city of Cleveland.
That's right.
You can't fathom. I get it. You can't fathom anybody wanting to stay and live in Cleveland. If LeBron was from Milwaukee and he went back to Milwaukee, I'd be saying the same. There's no way he's staying in Milwaukee. That's all this is. Cleveland, though, is a great city.
If it was Mr. Ohio over here.
Lives in L.A.
Exactly.
Rock and roll Hall of Fame, all that.
If it wasn't for the fact that it's Cleveland, I would retire then. To the Lakers, who are clearly planning for the future, trading D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov to the Nets. Reportedly, L.A. also tried to trade, the number two pick to build a package that would bring Paul George from Indiana, meaning they would be willing to pass on Lonzo Ball to get the Pacers star. This is interesting. Whitlock, who should be the bigger priority for L.A. if you had a choice? The current star or the potential star in Lonzo Ball?
You go with the proven commodity. Paul George is a proven commodity.
Right.
Lonzo Ball is not. We have hyped Lonzo Ball into people thinking he's Magic Johnson or Isaiah Thomas coming out of the draft. He ain't that. He may prove to be something, but Paul George is a consistent all-star who possibly could get even better. Paul George, it makes sense. I'm not sure I would give up the number two pick for Paul George, but getting Paul George is a ticket to get you LeBron James. Lonzo Ball, I'm not so sure.
How many players in the league are excited about watching Paul George this year? People haven't seen Lonzo Ball, and they can't wait. NBA players, GMs, Lonzo Ball hasn't played in the league, and people can't wait to watch him play.
You want those grass is greener guys, huh? You think the grass is greener.
Is that because George doesn't have a dad saying he's better than Michael Jordan?
No.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Paul George is a really good player who couldn't move the needle in the East.
He took him to the Eastern Conference Finals. What Lonzo Ball ain't won
diddly. That was a
diddly.
Few years ago.
He ain't won diddly.
I like Paul George, but you build around Lonzo. Because Paul George is showing us. I agree. That was years ago when he led him to the conference finals. But lately, what is he showing you? As the best player on the team with a bunch of young guys.
In the East.
He's leading you to the seventh seed in the East. What's he going to do in the West? Lead you to the lottery?
Listen.
Get
the man
Lonzo.
Is an all-star performer.
In the East.
You know who else was the number two pick in the draft?
Who?
D'Angelo Russell. and he just got shipped with a bag of Doritos for nothing.
This is the thing.
Lonzo, the number two pick is Spet.
Lonzo Ball has the chance to be transcendent. Yes. Paul George is a perennial all-star type player.
Yeah.
He's not transcendent.
Let me pick up
He's
on the transcendent.
He's not that special. Could be special.
You said Lonzo Ball could be Jason Kidd on this show.
Yes.
You said he could be Magic Johnson on this show. That he reminds you of Magic. Hey, you know who's running the Lakers? A point guard, Magic Johnson. You think he's not going to work with Lonzo Ball just a little bit on making players better, making Ingram better? I definitely go Lonzo Ball. And I like Paul George a lot.
I want to ask he's all cheaper, three of y'all this.
He's younger.
Can you put your indie bias aside?
No. This is just fact bias. All three of you are convinced Lonzo Ball is going to be a better NBA player than Paul George.
I am convinced he'll be better for commerce. He's got an appeal beyond basketball, and he will elevate others.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Here's where I'm at, Jason. It depends on where your franchise is. If I'm the Clippers and I could get Lonzo Ball or Paul George, I'm taking Paul George.
Yes.
I'm just saying with the Lakers situation where it's basically a total rebuild, I got a bunch of young players around me, I would rather have Ball.
And remember, at UCLA last year, they got four guys that are going to get drafted. That's all because of Lonzo Ball. Yep. TJ Leaf was a nice player. Lonzo elevated him. They went from 15 wins to 30.
They were an awful team in the Pac-12.
Now they're must-watch.
They were awful. I think they were a 6-13 team or something
they're
in the Pac-12.
15-17.
Overall. Yeah. He doubled them. He set an attendance record. Come on now.
And by the way, the draft is a crapshoot, man. D'Angelo Russell, just a couple years. Oh, can't wait to have him. He's going to be great.
He wasn't like this kid, though.
He was the number two pick in the draft. They just gave him away for nothing. That's how quickly things change.
Well, technically, they gave him away to clear up cap space to get LeBron.
You're right. I mean, look, you're right. I'm not 100% sold that Lonzo's going to be this star that we think he is. I think he can. But his upside is that he can be transcendent, and that's just not what
Chris also said. Different families, different ideals. For the Clippers, who have Chris Paul, I mean, they don't want to take risk. They got a new arena.
Yep.
They have a lame history. Paul George is a guarantee. Lakers have some history. There's more appeal. I can go either way. I'm going to roll the dice on the ceiling of Lonzo Ball, because even if Lonzo isn't as great as I think, he is magic commerce for about 3 years. Remember the kid named White Chocolate, Jason Williams?
Yeah.
You know what? He's a bust. For 3 years, he was pretty interesting.
He put him on the map.
Lonzo Ball's better than that.
That's what the Lakers are driving. You know what? We want pretty interesting at number two.
I'm just saying.
I want a guy that can put up numbers and be an effective player in the NBA. Paul George has proven that. Lonzo Ball may turn out to be great, but it's all spec.
All right, welcome back. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst Ray Lewis, Super Bowl champ 2 Eric Davis. Let's move to the NFL. Colin Kaepernick's chances of finding a new job took a hit this week after a controversial tweet comparing police to the runaway slave patrol. But a former GM, Jeff Diamond, says if he were running a team, he would sign Kaepernick as long as the quarterback was willing to follow a few simple rules. Says Diamond, quote, Kaepernick would need to come aboard as a good team player, be supportive of the current starter if one were established. If not, Kaepernick would need to be ready to compete. He would need to accept coaching. He would need to play under a one-year contract befitting a top backup quarterback. And yes, he must agree not to be the lightning rod of controversy he was last year. He would have to promise not to tweet or be quoted on the subject of police and political issues in general. Now, Whitlock, can Kaepernick to you avoid being a lightning rod if he gets signed?
I thought he could, and if you're a couple weeks ago, I thought and was arguing he's the perfect fit to be the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and I still somewhat believe that. But then he came out with his latest tweet, and I'm like, he's not willing to do what Jeff Diamond just articulated, which is what most of the NFL probably wants Kaepernick to agree to. Mm-hmm. Move the controversy to the background and away from our team. We're here to play football and win championships. And when you're spending that kind of money on a football team, you have a right to want to make those kind of demands. You're not paying guys $20 an hour. You're spending millions of dollars, there's $150 million a team perhaps, on trying to win a Super Bowl every year, and you have a right to want the focus to be on winning.
This is a cautionary tale of why you don't worry about befriending the media. Mm-hmm. A, the media will turn on you in a second. And B, even when they have your back like Kaepernick here, that they won't let the story go. Even if Kaepernick decided, I'm out, the media is going to keep bringing it. This is why, don't worry about the media. Okay, Bill Clinton, by the way, through his controversy, the media hated him. The voters liked him. I mean, Donald Trump, media wasn't his friend. The people liked him. Worry about the people. Worry about your bosses. Don't worry about the media. Kaepernick's got the media. It's done him no good.
He's in a situation right now where he's no longer in charge of the narrative.
That's right.
You're right. After it's to a point after that last tweet, I don't know how to defend that because he went too deep. Ray and I were talking about this. He went too deep. So you have to explain that. So the questions are going to be asked. So right now you're in a situation from a coaching standpoint. It's whether or not he says he will do all those things, because, you know, being the backup and be a good teammate and all those things, I think he's willing to do that. But that distraction, it now will be there, where the questions are going to be asked. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about what just happened in whatever city? He's going to constantly be asked those things, and so are his teammates now. That's the issue. And there's no way, if I'm the coach, if I'm the GM, that I'm not concerned about getting fired. Yeah. Bringing that into my locker room, a lot of guys are going to have to deal with a lot of things. And you know, in this league, one bad season, you can be gone. Yeah. And that's the issue right now.
Yeah, from a football standpoint, remember, we've seen this last year already. He's been a backup. So he's went through that. Yeah. Right? He came in, he played. And so we done seen that side of it. But I think the side that every GM, every head coach wants to see. ED knows this 100%. We are there to do one thing, win football games.
Period.
Listen, I said this a year ago and I'm gonna say it again. I love his heart. I love what he's standing for. This ain't these people, when you put on that uniform is for one thing, ED.
Yeah.
Is to go out and win football games.
And they don't care about anything else.
And they don't care about nothing else. So you got to ask yourself, if you're a GM, if you're a head coach, do you want that in your locker room, knowing that when you go out on game day, the most important thing is to get your team together to say, how do we win?
And this is one thing I'd say from living it, being in a locker room where there was a serious distraction. Yeah. There are some things guys always talk about, distractions, you know, like the Russell Wilson and the things that happened up with the defensive player. That's not a distraction.
Right.
When that murder trial was going on, when I was in Carolina, with Ray Carruth, and when you were being pulled off the field by federal agents asking you questions and constantly having to deal with that, that's a distraction. Did that totally tear up a season? Yes. So when you're being asked all of these things constantly, where you can't do the one thing that you're talking about is focus on ball, the coaches, no one can, that becomes a distraction. And that's what I think now the narrative is out of control from Cap's standpoint.
Yeah.
That makes it very difficult.
He has to make up his mind. Do you want to play football or you want to be an actor?
So this is what Ray's saying is what I've said. I went and looked. He doesn't have an Instagram post since May 29th of 2015 that's a football post. I want football players.
That's what your job is. That's what your job is.
I just want football players.
But listen, Jeff Diamond, I want to defend him a little bit here too, because he'll probably take some heat. He said, hey, look, man, use your money to support the causes that you believe in. And this is where my position with Kaepernick always was. Hey, man, you have an opportunity to make millions of dollars in this short window, and you can take those millions and support the things you believe in. Or you can take a knee and run yourself out of the league and deny yourself that financial wealth and the ability to really help people and help causes. And so, again, I always thought it was short-sighted.
You know, I'm looking at him, and I always thought he was, you know how much I've been here trying to defend him and what was going on, but it has gotten so deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the thing. He, all of this, you've always said, we've sat here and talked about it, that he is playing to Twitter.
Yeah.
He's playing to Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You have to know that that's microwave, and no one's going to do the research. They're not going to check into the history, the majority, to see where you're coming from. So, and that's the thing. Right now, you have to start explaining what you mean.
And nobody's on Twitter
is
paying your bills.
Yeah.
By the way.
Nobody's writing no checks.
If you're a tennis star, a skier, a boxer, you can take these stands, but once you sign up for team sports, there's a lot of things and people and administrative and operational things and games you have to play as a team sport guy.
Colin, I have been in this world for many years, in the world that he's talking about. I'm in the gangs, I'm in the neighborhoods every day. I'm having conversations to try to change these things. I know there's injustice. I know the wrong things that's been happening to young black kids. I see it every day of my life. I lived it. So I don't have to get nobody to try to understand what I'm trying to say. I lived it. And I'm telling you, the fight, that's not his fight right now. Your fight as Colin Kaepernick is to use this window of opportunity that you have in the National Football League and respect what that brand means. That brand means when you put on your suit that we're all got one mindset when we walk on this freaking field, and that's how to win football games. I love his heart. Protect the people you want to protect and do everything and spend your money for them and do those things. And invite the same thing that I'm doing right now. I got over 50-plus kids that I'm bringing from the inner city, and I'm bringing them out to Sagamore to Under Armour Place, and we're doing a barbecue for them because I want to give them a different imagination. I want to give them something to think about. But I'm not tweeting that everybody is bad and all of this stuff. You can't, because the issues that he's fighting are way bigger than a tweet.
All right, welcome back. Ray Lewis and Eric Davis are back. We decided to return to New England, where Rob Gronkowski raised some eyebrows as TMZ reported he and his friends dropped over $100,000 this weekend partying at a Connecticut nightclub. Gronk denies the report, but not the partying, which was caught on video. Meanwhile, the Patriots again seem to have nothing to say about Gronk's wild lifestyle. All right, Cowherd, you and I were on the same side yesterday. New question. Should Brady and Belichick hold Gronk more accountable?
They do. It's called his contract. The Patriots have always spoken to players through their contract. They love you, they sign you. They don't like you, they let you go. If they like you with qualifiers, they put incentive bonuses in. This is what they do. They're absolutely controlling him. And this is the way they've always done it. Mm-hmm. And this is the way I would give Odell Beckham a contract. I love you with qualifiers. And I think Gronk's issue is one as a parent I've come to terms with. He's immature. And immaturity, kids grow through stages. In 7 to 8 years, Gronk will be like, wow, I was really a goofball. But you can't change immaturity. Time's the only changer of it.
Might be 10, 15 years before he says that. But, you know, yesterday we had a pretty passionate discussion. You and I, Colin, were on the same side. Eric and Ray, I think, kind of saw things differently. I had some time to reflect about players that were wild, and we just kind of accepted. In the NFL, Michael Irvin. I loved Michael Irvin, personally. He was a wild dude, and we could just kind of look the other way. The Cowboys in general. Jim McMahon was kind of nutty and wild. The Oakland Raiders, under Al Davis, built an entire culture around the entire team being Gronkowski-esque.
That was a whole different era. Michael Irvin, and he dealt with his fines and his time. And I mean, and I had someone tell me Lawrence Taylor, who had dealt with his suspensions
Lawrence
and all.
Taylor.
But look, there were consequences. That's what Ray and I were talking about. There were no consequences.
The man hasn't run afoul of the law.
Well, okay. But there, when you're having certain acts and you're acting a certain way, and what Gronk is doing, the question is, should Belichick and Brady pull him in? They can't. It's too late. It's too late. You can't plug in Frankenstein and then all of a sudden say, uh-oh, we don't like how it is. He's been doing this his whole career. No one has held him accountable for those things. No one has said he's a leader of this team, which he is. Mm-hmm. He's too valuable to this team to not be out there every single game. You're saying what I said before. They did it with his contract. Now they're basically saying, if you don't play, we don't pay.
We don't pay.
So it's that simple. But that's the only qualifier they can put on it. But you can't expect Gronk to change now.
Yeah, I don't play. I don't survive 17 years without the wisdom of Rod Woodson and Shannon Sharpe. 24 years old, I walk in a locker room, and Shannon Sharpe and Rod Woodson both ask me a question. How relevant are you trying to be in 20 years? I started to understand why Shannon ate the way he ate. I started to understand why Shannon, in the offseason, was in the bed at 8:30 at night. Now I'm 24 years old. And I'm saying, man, I'm not going to sleep at no 8 o'clock now. Like, I love you, but I'm not going to sleep at 8. But this man was so serious about the longevity of his career. And if I'm Tom Brady, if I'm Bill Belichick, whether I let this happen or not, whether I do it through contract or not, as a friend, Rod Woodson and Shannon Sharpe, when I started to want to go out, they said, we're going with you. And guess what? We're going to be back home at a reasonable time, and you are not finna act crazy, and you're not finna get drunk. You ain't doing it. And I had to sit there and say, wow. And guess what? They used to get in the car with me and drive to D.C. And all I'm saying is, because the question is, should Brady and Belichick get involved in this? I said this yesterday. This guy has not completed a full season since 2011.
I think technically he has. I think 1 year he set out the last game because of the starters set out.
If that's a conversation that we're having, that's still an issue.
Okay, right? Ray, you played at the U.
Yeah.
That was as boisterous an environment in South Beach.
18, 19 years old.
Not professional.
Not professional. Come on, I mean, listen, this is why I appreciate this conversation. Let's make sure we're clear. I think Gronk is arguably the best tight end in football. But I'm sitting here watching a young kid that has not finished many seasons in the National Football League because of injuries. You don't think that has something to do with lack of sleep, with partying all the time in the offseason where you think you have time? You don't have time. Great ones, greatness. Let me tell you where greatness is found. Greatness is found in everyday mediocrity, in being okay with every day.
But what if he doesn't want to be? Like, not everybody's aspirational.
Yeah.
What if he just wants to be rich and get girls?
And that's
some
what
guys
I,
do.
You know what, that's what I was going to go at, because just like you said, you had Shannon and Rod Woodson. You know what? I walked into a locker room with Jerry and Ronnie, and they were the same way.
Yeah.
You got to want to do that. You have to want to listen, because I can't say, Belichick has already said we don't like it by the contract. The contract is saying we want you to do more and be there.
Absolutely.
I can't expect Tom Brady to make him come in at a certain time. So that's why I can't put it on Tom. They already created this and allowed it to happen. You're not going to change
him.
Which is a great point. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily putting it on Tom. I think the question, remember what the question is. Should Brady and Belichick say something? I'm saying if you want to keep winning rings, if you really care about this guy.
They just want a ring without him.
And that's the point what the contract said.
Listen, let's don't pretend. Gronkowski's not the only big, dumb idiot in the NFL or in professional sports. Yes?
He's a bigger brand than most. I mean, he gets a lot of attention.
He's a meathead.
I'm not going to call him a big, dumb idiot. He knows what he's doing.
He knows he's doing.
There's a plan to what Gronk is doing.
He loves attention.
Yeah. I don't think this right here is just some meathead act.
He's a meathead.
He's
a meathead.
He's not an idiot.
No, I think he loves attention. I think he really loves attention.
Meathead. All right, welcome back. Ray Lewis and Eric Davis are back. Let's move to Odell Beckham Jr., who says he expects a big year out of the Giants receiving core, which now includes another big personality, Brandon Marshall. Odell said he values the veteran Marshall's life advice, but even that doesn't stop Odell from skipping OTAs in a couple of weeks ago. Colin, should the Giants give Beckham a long-term deal despite his antics?
Yeah, give him a Gronk deal. Production incentives. I like him. I'd rather have him on my team than cover him. And I just do it like Gronk. You can't solve immature. He's a little immature. Gronk's immature. You grow out of that. I mean, they always say in the NBA, a guy comes into the league, wants to make his money and chase girls. And then about 27, he's like, you know what? I want to win some games. It takes kids time. These are like 20-year-old kids. I'd give him a contract. I'd say, I want you to play 16 games. And I want 84 catches. And I'll give you more for 94, more for 104. Why can't you do that?
Because he would be very unhappy. This guy wants one of these long-term contracts.
Well, it's the NFL. It's not the NBA.
$50 million guaranteed. You know, he wants to be treated. He wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't give him a deal. He's got to prove it to me. I'm still upset about the playoff performance.
You wouldn't give him a deal? He's the face of all of New York. He's the face of all of New York sports.
Easily.
Of all of New York sports. Odell Beckham is the face.
In a competitive market.
You have to give him a deal. Before you give him the deal, the front office bring his little behind in there and say, sit down somewhere, and we need to talk. And this is what this contract going to look like. And if you don't follow this, 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 and this, you ain't getting this, this, this.
This is pro sports. What kind of locker room
you expect? Understand, not only is he the face of the locker room, he understands the business and he's earning it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about his antics and not showing up for a voluntary training camp, okay?
I'm talking about playoffs.
The kid was in his first playoff game and he had a bad day, okay? It doesn't mean anything. It's like, let's see what happens the next time. Mm-hmm. What I have seen is year in and year out, he's getting better as a player.
Yeah.
He's productive on Sundays. He's showing up every week. He gets the job done. And now he's getting older. And he knows. I guess I've had a conversation with him. He understands now he's not the young guy. He is a veteran that guys are looking up to and expecting more out of. He will earn the contract. You got to give him a contract.
This is like in New York, one of the last cities with like 3 or 4 newspapers. Sometimes the star columnist is an egomaniac, and you can have qualifiers in the contract. But there's not a lot of stars in New York sports.
Mm-mm.
This is a team. This is a city with 2 NFL teams.
Y'all acting like he's Antonio Brown.
He's really good.
I understood giving Antonio Brown his contract. He's performed. He has some maturity issues. But again, this dude just laid an egg
in January. Odell's not AB, okay? But he's top 5 easily.
Top 3.
I don't care who list you put him on.
Yeah.
Because there are only 2 guys right now that I would even remotely even think about putting in front of him. That would be AB and Julio.
Well, I agree.
There's no one else.
Bryant had a hell of a year last year.
We're talking about, you can argue back and forth, but we're talking about talent-wise, we're talking about what this kid has the ability to do. Now we're talking about you create a more mature Odell Beckham in another year. Man, that's a problem. And look, 1 playoff game, right? Look, everything else before that is what we are talking about. The boat and all of that. I get it. A young kid makes that mistake time and time again. But the kid that understands, now I'm not the young guy.
Exactly.
And now I had my 1, 2, 3 years of grace period where I can just wild out and do what I want to do. Now, I truly believe him.
And he has a true veteran that has gone through it.
Been through it.
Why y'all like him more than Gronk?
And understand what's going on.
First of all, he is over.
I like Gronk.
Yeah.
And Who says I don't like Gronk?
I like Gronk.
Gronk got rings and, you know.
I like Gronk.
Boy, you.
Gronk got Brady, too. You need to stop this.
You better
stop this mess.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you're call your mama. I'm telling
you're better off without kids. This you really are.
This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. As always, folks, remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Boy, Lakers fans, you can't stay out of my mentions. So since I went on the Herd Monday and started talking about LeBron and Paul George and the Lakers, y'all have been all up in my business, folks. We're getting closer by the day. Seriously, how about what Cowherd floated today on his show? The Lakers give up the number 2 pick, unload that Luol Deng contract to the Suns for the number 4 pick. They don't get Lonzo Ball. They settle for De'Aaron Fox, but they're ready for Paul George and LeBron. How about that? You like them apples? Maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. We'll see you tomorrow.